Winthrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. Today we are going to talk with junior pitcher Liam Eddy about his career at Wichita State, about the Shocker Fall World Series that is going on this week. We appreciate you listening. We invite you to rate and review the Roundhouse Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Wichita State athletics content at GoShockers.com. Liam Eddy is with us today. Liam is a junior pitcher. He is from Brighton, Colorado. Last year, the abbreviated 2020 season, he went 2-0 with a 1.73 ERA. He was part of a one-hitter, 5-1 win over Northwestern State. He struck out 10, allowed one run on one hit in eight innings. He was a freshman All-American and selected by Collegiate Baseball in 2018. So far this fall, he's pitched once in the Shocker World Series. Am I right on that, Liam?
Yeah.
Four and a third innings for the black team earlier this week. The black team leads 2-0 entering Friday. And on Friday, we've got the resumption of game three and game four. Then for fans, game five is open to fans. Starts at 1 p.m. at X Stadium. Wear your masks. Liam, what's your record in Shocker World Series now that you've been here for three seasons?
I'm not too sure, to be honest with you. I think I'm 3-1.
How many times have you been on the winning team? How many times have you been on the losing team?
I think 1-1. This will be the hopefully the second win. So
we're breaking the tie. What's the best thing about winning, and what's the worst thing about losing the Shocker World Series?
I think it's just bragging rights. I mean, you'd imagine teammates going at it. We always get after each other in a good way. So it's just fun to be on the winning side and not so fun on the losing side, if that's the case.
Sure. Yeah, there's always good stories about the Shocker World Series. Sometimes it gets a little heated. I've been out there when they brought props out onto the infield, lots of chatter from the dugout. Well, what's the level of rivalry between the yellow and the black this fall?
It's pretty intense out there, I'd say, so far. Without any fans, I think it gets a little more intense with the smack talk, to be honest. But yeah, it's been good so far. We're getting after each other and just pushing each other to get better with the smack talk that we give, because we're going to get it no matter what. If we're in a big stadium full of fans, it's going to be the same way. So it's good to get that now.
Learning process to the chatter as well. Who's got the sharpest tongue on this Shocker team? Who cracks people up from the dugout?
Say Hunter Gibson. Kind of whatever he says is a good time.
Who's caught your eye in scrimmages this fall? Who's playing well that you've noticed?
Jalen Mack's been playing pretty well. Connor Jalen
is an infielder. Have I seen him at shortstop, maybe?
Yeah, I think he played second for the yellow team. He's been hitting pretty well and playing pretty well. Connor Lewis, a freshman pitcher, he pitches against me every week, and he's been playing pretty well. I think he's got the best stats out of the whole pitching staff this entire fall. He's been pitching really well.
Okay, I was going to ask you for a couple newcomers to watch, but those two are both newcomers. Very good. Okay, let's take us back to late in 2019 season. Mike Pelfrey, the pitching coach, said you worked on adding a cutter to your repertoire of pitches, and that was really helpful. Take us through that process and why that had such a good influence on your career.
It's kind of just another pitch that I can throw either side of the plate whenever I want, up in the count, down, early contact, and even for like a strikeout pitch. I think Pelfrey used to throw one, so it's kind of easy for him to explain what he did and how to throw it exactly. And it was a pretty easy pitch for me to pick up too. It's kind of plays with my slider a little bit. And I use it just like my fastball. I'd say if I use my fastball 50% of the time, I split up my cutter and my fastball pretty evenly. So I throw it a lot, and it's been very helpful.
And from a hitter's perspective, what's the difference between the fastball and the cutter? How does that play with them?
Well, my fastball runs a little bit arm side, and then the cutter will go a little bit to the glove side. So if it looks like a fastball and you're swinging at a fastball, you're going to get it off the end of your bat, most likely if you're righty. If you're lefty, it's going to come into your hands. So it looks like the fastball, but it moves a little differently.
And why was it so important to add that pitch? Why was it so helpful?
I'd say because I'm not normally known as the strikeout type of pitcher, more early contact. And so that was a good pitch to have, more early weak contact. So it just saved pitches and got them off balance a little bit more.
So when you start thinking about adding a pitch as a pitcher, do you have to be convinced? Do you kind of have to be talked into it? Or are pitchers pretty open to experimenting and trying something new?
Yeah, I feel like we're all pretty open to trying stuff. It's hard to stick with it, though. If you start throwing it in the games and it's not going very well, it's getting hit pretty hard. But the cutter for me, it went pretty well the first time I started throwing it, because it was, I think, right before the conference tournament when we played ECU is when I picked it up, and that went pretty well. So,
yeah, that's the game that Mike Pelfrey. Yeah, that's the game he remembers. So you remember that too, as being It went well and really important.
Yeah.
Do you kind of start? You got to figure out a comfortable grip, I guess. First, is that the first step to adding a pitch like that?
Yeah, I think any kind of pitch you add, you got to find the grip. Because I mean, I've thrown a changeup since I started playing baseball, and I think middle of the season, my sophomore year, was when I found a grip that I liked and it actually started working. So, I mean, it takes a while. You just got to find the grip and how you got to throw everything.
So then describe the difference between that 2019, your sophomore season, and then you come back as a junior and really throw well for the through the, you know, the shortened season. What was the difference for you?
I think sophomore season, well, after my freshman year, I was trying to put on a little more weight, and I think that kind of got me actually out of shape. So now I'm just kind of worrying about getting myself in the best shape that I can be and what I feel is good for me. And I feel like that really helped me, because, I mean, of course you want to add weight and be low, but I want to be in good shape and feel good as well, and I think that really helped me out.
Take us through Mike Pelfrey as a pitching coach. What's that like?
I think it's just the whole – he plays along with the whole Wichita State new mindset that we're trying to bring here. 12-year big leaguer, I mean, you gotta have that mindset to do that. You can't just – if you have the best stuff in the world and you don't have the right mindset, you're not going to be able to play in the big leagues for 12 years. But, yeah, with the 12-year experience as well, he knows what he's talking about. And been there, done that, knows what to feel within your body when things are going wrong. So it's easy corrections if things are going wrong for you. He'll be able to tell you what's going on.
It seems like in my conversations with Mike, you wouldn't necessarily know he was a big leaguer. And I would think that's got to be important. I mean, you've got to communicate with kids who, you know, obviously haven't been in the big leagues, may never be in the big leagues. So you can't rely on all that big league experience all the time. Am I right to say that?
Yeah. He acts like another one of the players when it's not supposed to be locked in and really focusing on stuff. So it's easy to talk to him. Yeah.
The Shockers went 13-2 last spring. Really seemed to have a lot of fun. I guess I keep, you know, my description of seeing the Shockers play, just a really crisp, clean brand of baseball. Really good defense, really good pitching. What was it like being in the dugout? What kind of made that team click last spring?
I think from the first weekend on, we just knew that we were going to win the game. Like, no matter what was going on, if we were down or up, we just, everybody in there knew that we were going to win the game. It was just as simple as that. We just knew that we were going to win. So That's what I felt.
Yeah, and that would match what a lot of people said about that team. What were you able to do baseball wise during the, you know, after the season ends, stay at home over the summer, all that. How did you keep sharp?
I stayed in Wichita most of the time. I went home for maybe like a week or two. But yeah, I just tried to get in as good a shape as I could. Lifted, we had a little garage set up, did some running and just tried to stay in as good a shape as I could. And then the summer ball, we tried to stay on the lifting and throwing that we were doing, to get ready for that. And then that went pretty well as well. I mean, I enjoyed my summer out in Hutch and it's a good time.
Playing in the Sunflower League and like with a lot of Shockers.
Yeah.
Mike Pelfrey described you as maybe having the best heartbeat on the team. Don't get rattled, even keel. Where does that come from and why is that important?
Maybe a little bit from my dad and my mom. They were both athletes in college. My dad was on the Boise State tennis team and his nickname was Steady Eddie. So, I mean, I'm sure he kind of had the same type of mentality to get that. But really whenever a big game's coming up or anything, I know that no matter what happens, it's in God's plan and I'm not too worried about anything, honestly. I mean, I'm going to go out there and compete, but whatever happens, happens. So never really too worried about it.
Your dad was a tennis player. Your mother was a gymnast. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yep. Both at Boise State.
Excellent. Yeah. I understand your dad has some game day nerves. Tell me about that. What's his routine like when you're on the mound?
Well, if you try and talk to him when I'm pitching, he's going to get annoyed pretty fast. He'll be respectful, but he likes to kind of stay on his own and feel it out. He's got superstitions. He stands on certain cracks up in the stands. And if something happens, get a hit, he'll move a little bit. And if it's going good, he'll make sure he stays right there.
Okay. Cracks in the sidewalk. I've heard a lot of parent superstitions and I don't know if I've ever heard cracks on the sidewalks. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
So you were really strong last spring, on track to get drafted, I would imagine. And then the pandemic draft knocks down to 5 rounds. How do you deal with that? How do you kind of put that aside and not let it affect this season for you?
Yeah, I never figured when I was coming here that I would be here for my senior year, just because that was my ultimate goal, just to be drafted and playing that. But yeah, it was a little tough. I mean, just because you're expecting that and then all this happens, but yeah, I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm just going to keep getting better and trying to get in there this year if I can.
Favorite hunting spot?
Mountains of Colorado for sure.
Okay. And what, elk, deer, what's your favorite game to hunt?
I'm going to try and get elk this year. I've never gotten an elk, but my grandpa's farmland out in Anton, Colorado, we'd always hunt. Gosh, I'm drawing a blank. What are they?
Teal, pheasant?
Well, we'd hunt pheasant, yeah. I'm trying to think. It's like a antelope, yeah.
We'd hunt antelope
out there. Okay. Yep.
Well, yeah, what's your best hunting experience? What's the...
I always enjoyed pheasant hunting. Mm-hmm. Just walking through the fields with my grandpa and friends, and it's just a good time to get outdoors and just walk around.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Liam. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.